Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, let's see. Over the last bunch of weeks on Sundays on the programme, we've given over loads of time to things like best intros, best opening lines, best brass and keyboards and bass and guitar solos and sampling. Well, on the programme tomorrow, because a lot of people have asked for it, it's going to be drums. I'm going to do a lot of drums tomorrow from 2 o'clock or thereabouts for an hour's worth. So get your stuff in. Also, as you know, Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts died on Tuesday, just 3 weeks after pulling out of the band's upcoming American tour for health reasons. Charlie Watts was a legendary drummer and also, by all accounts, a very unassuming guy whose calm presence made him the linchpin of the Rolling Stones ever since he joined the band back in 63. Well, I want to talk now to Irishman Tom Kenny, a renowned lighting designer in the US. Most recently, he was lighting designer for the huge Vax Live event in the US with every famous person playing on it. But he's also worked on countless music award shows down through the years, and he's been on the show with us talking about his career with The Who and everything else. But today, Tom is on the line because he hung out with Charlie Watts when he was in Dublin back in the 1990s, and he joins me now to tell that story. Tom, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm very good. Very sad to hear about poor Charlie's passing, but he was 80 and what a life he had, and everybody he touched, they loved him.
Okay, well, tell me about the early 90s. You were living in Dublin, right?
I was living in Dublin. I was traveling around the world. I was working for Clapton and The Who and lots of different bands, and I was back home seeing my daughter, Aisling, and I was walking through the park one day, and I heard
Hold
Tom,
on, whoa. Walking through what park?
St. Stephen's Green.
Oh, Stephen's
Sorry,
Green, Dave. Right, okay.
Stephen's Green, and I hear Tom. I look around, and it's Chuck Lavelle, who's the keyboard player with The Who and the Allmans and stuff, and there's a bunch of guys with him, and they all walk up, and they're like, we start chatting, and after a while, I realize it's Charlie Watson, the douche who works for them and stuff, and after a while, Charlie goes, oh, are you the guy that works for Clapton that showed them the bookshop? And I went, yeah. And he says, could you show me this bookshop? I went, yeah, okay, let's go for a walk. So we strolled down. I decided we'd walk down through Grafton Street, show them Bewley's, and we'd had a good laugh about that. We walked around, and it was called Cahock Books at the time, but it's called Ulysses Rare Books now in Duke Street beside Tobin's. So in they went, and after a while he came out and says, Tom, I'm going to be here for a while. I'll give you a call later on. So I sort of went off with my daughter, very happy about stuff. And later on that night, I got a call from Charlie, and he said, oh my God, that was an amazing experience. I went back a few times, and I told Keith about it, and we found a few books. But listen, would you be up for another errand? And I went, of course, Charlie, what do you want? And he says, I just got to Greyhounds from Garrick the Bruin's friend down in Wicklow, and I found I don't have collars, and I can't find collars. Could you look for a collar? And I went, yeah, okay. So put the phone down, immediately looked through the phone book in those days, and I found the Irish Greyhound Society, rang up the Irish Greyhound Society, and they said there's two places, there's Bamans and Stillorgan, or there's, every Wednesday, Shelbourne Park Greyhound, you can go, and there's a guy called Jimmy underneath the bridge. So I'm like, okay. So I ring back the Shelbourne Hotel, and I didn't have Charlie's pseudonym. I didn't have his name. So yeah. I just told the operator, hey, listen, I'm a friend of Charlie Watts. He asked me to do this, and I gave him these two names and blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to about 7 years later, and I was working for Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, and we were doing this amazing show in Paris for Amnesty International, and it was just star-studded. And I'm strolling around before the show, and I look into a room, and I see the Dalai Lama, Peter Gabriel, Shania Twain, and a load of people. And Robert Plant sticks his head out the window and goes, Tom, come here. Come on in here. So I walk in. As I get in the door, Dave, I hear, oh, my God, it's Tom Kenny. And I look around, and it's Paul Brennan from Plummet, right?
Yeah.
Who I hadn't seen for a million years, and he was with Peter Gabriel, their friends. So I'm chatting to Paul for 2 seconds, and I hear, are you Tom Kenny? And I look around, and it's Charlie and his wife, Shirley.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's just go back a second here. God, I was going to try and drop a name myself, but I'd be lost with all this.
Oh, I can so drop first names of all, all day.
First of all, the Dalai Lama, were you talking to him by any chance?
For about a second, and he sort of decided that greyhound collars weren't his deal. But
he was
there in their presence. Listen, he was one of the only gods in there that day. He was just one of them, you know?
Yeah, okay, so there's Radiohead, there's Springsteen, there's the Dalai Lama, there's Tom York, obviously. There's Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, there's Paul Brennan.
Seriously,
Jane Birkin was there as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. It was just a crazy room backstage at the Bercy in Paris. And after a while, Charlie says, I must talk to you about this, my experience. So we start talking about, we talk about the books for a minute, and then he goes, got to tell you the story about the collars. So he tells me he realized that Bowman's was too far. So one day...
Can I just
studio,
make a bit of a correction there, Tom? I'm sorry, but it's the second time you said it. And since I'm from that area of the world, for God's sake.
Oh, you're from around there, yeah.
It's called Bowman's. It's not Bowman's.
It's called Bowman's. Shit, sorry.
Yeah. Must still be my
Mid-Atlantic.
Still there, yeah.
Yeah, it's still there, well, across from the Smurfit's house, next to that college. But anyway, so they decided that that was too far. And one day, there was a bit of a fracas in the studio, and Keith Richards, this is all crazy true, but he walks out, Charlie walks out to the corner there in Wimble Lane, and they said, come on, let's go for a walk. Walking around, and they obviously wandered a bit far, and they saw Shelbourne Park Greyhound. So the two of them go in there, they find, it obviously was a Wednesday or Thursday, they find Jimmy by the collars, and then go, second, let's have a drink. So they sat and bedded on the Greyhound dogs for a little while, then realized after a while, God, this is the place to disappear, and that became one of their little haunts to run away from Jagger or whoever was.
Hold on a second. So you're telling me, that Keith and Charlie were in Shelbourne Park betting on the dogs?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's some old geezer there that had a couple of dogs going, hey, he's like, the one that those guys were. But, and, you know, as always, they're just two men sitting there, but... that's my story, and I was just, you know, I've been around him a few times since, but what an incredible, elegant, cool guy that Rudy was so down to earth.
And
one of the best.
Which album were they recording here?
I think it was Voodoo Lounge, wasn't it? It was like early 90s.
Was it? Yeah,
and
yeah,
I would have actually, around that time, I was working for, I can name drop all day, I was working for George Harrison as well. And then the first time I was in Ulysses, I showed. Eric Clapton, Ray Cooper, Derek Taylor, who was one of the very famous Beatle entourage, and they just devoured the place.
Is that the Ray Cooper who does all the percussion with Elton John?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the guy that produced Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Right.
Very clever man, you know. Mm. So a bunch of people. They're all people that I run in circles. Once you're part of that club, Dave, you're part of that club, you know. So.
And Anthony Bourdain, did you tell him about the shop as well?
No, seemingly he got the message from somebody else that when you're in Dublin, go to this place. And that's how it all
connected.
Okay, so
the place you're talking about is Ulysses, a bookshop in Duke Street in Dublin, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, I'm sure people, I've been back since, but... Her dad wasn't there, Ashling, who runs the place now. Her dad wasn't there, who was the original man. And Bowie used to go, everybody, it's one of those simple magnet little gems in Dublin on Duke Street that people go in. And, of course, a lot of the stuff normal people couldn't afford. But if you're a collector, it is a place.
So basically,
and, you know,
if you want to do a bit of star spotting in Dublin, forget the Merrion Hotel.
Yeah.
Well, what you should do is hang around outside this
place.
Bookshop in Duke Street.
Yeah, but, you know, most people, Dublin is, you know, when you're looking at a tour list, which I've done many times, and you're looking at Singapore, you're looking at Tokyo, you're looking at, and then it gets Dublin, you're more excited about going to Dublin. And everybody says this, you know, everybody from Adele to the Stones, if you see Dublin on your list, that's the place to go. Obviously, if you're a book collector or a record collector, that's the place to go.
And what did Charlie buy? I mean, first of all, did Keith buy anything? Or do you any idea what kind of books Charlie was
interested in? I know
that
they bought a Finnegan's Wake, and they found a Roald Dahl. And
wow, Finnegan's Wake. I wonder, did they get past the first 20 pages? Because I didn't.
No, none of us did. And that was the funny thing. You know, I read books, but not to the level of these people I was working with, so... Yeah. But yeah, wonderful people.
Okay,
wonderful,
let's just
man,
go back to this place in Paris, the backstage thing with all the famous people and Dalai Lama and all the rest. But you say that you met Charlie's wife, his wife of nearly 60 years.
So Charlie,
just tell me about her.
She was just a wonderful, graceful English lady who knew, obviously, I was in that room and we chatted away. And later on at the lighting desk, they were sitting beside me. But very graceful, lovely lady, huge into horses and dogs. And they actually donated a lot of their money, philanthropy, to dog shelters and horses. And obviously, Ireland being the center of the world for horses and dogs, she traveled here a lot and loved it. And they, at that time, I think they were making some of the album in Ronnie Wood's house, and he had a lot of pals who's got horses. I'm sure they could call in. And that was her, you know, their love, and obviously till the end, 60 years, wow. God yeah. bless them. But she was as cool as hell. As cool as a cucumber, you know.
And what are you up to at the moment? But
I just finished, you mentioned Vax Live, I just finished a show last weekend in Central Park. We did a show for Welcome Back to New York that about three-quarters
of Oh, yeah, I saw the ads for all that. Wait a minute, wasn't some of it called off because of the hurricane?
Yeah, we called off. It was a sort of eclectic bunch of people. It was, Cynthia Vera, Elvis Costello, Paul Simon, and then we had Barry Manilow in the middle of it because it was a tribute to a guy called Clive Davis, who's a big music guy here.
Yeah.
And in the middle of Barry Manilow, which I'd been to rehearsals the night before, we'd watched it all, lit it all, everything, and in the middle of one of the songs, the stage manager says, we've got to get out because there was lightning. I'm sure any yeah. promoter could tell you this. And sadly, we had to finish it, but the night before in the park, which was for 60,000 people, the night before, because it's a park, they let people pass through. So we had Patti Smith doing this beautiful rendition of her songs, and then we had Paul Simon, which was supposed to be the finale. We had Elvis Costello, we had The Killers, we had Maluma, we had all the people who didn't play, did, you know, sound checks, I'm checking the lights, cameras. So unfortunately, they never got to see that, but the ensuing show afterwards is probably still on there with all the artists calling in and talking to Anderson Cooper. It turned out to be great, but it seemingly 60 to 80 million people watched it. So mm-hmm. it was a success in that way, but Mother Nature got in the way. And being Irish is funny because I was back and forth with Declan and he was saying, oh, being Irish, we're used to that rain, you know, but in America, it's the lightning that was the king that got us, you know, Mother Nature's got us. But yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Yeah, because I'd seen all the ads for this huge big gig. It was over, like, by the way, I'm talking to Tom Kenny, Irish lighting designer, about Charlie Watts, the Rolling Stones drummer who died this week, but we're actually moved over now. So it was a few day event, wasn't it?
No, it was just for one day.
Oh,
it started
at
5 o'clock with the Philharmonic, but it was stunning. It was like one of those moments, and we've all been at gigs like that where the magic is getting better, and as it was getting darker, I was like, oh, here we go. And then Mother Nature, but it was great. It was, you know, very middle of the road.
So what are you doing next?
Next week I start working with a guy called Juanes, who's a Colombian singer. And then what do? I go to Las Vegas to do this big festival, and then I do a big country thing. Yeah, no, I'm lucky. America's been open for a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of the states, they don't give a fuck, in
right.
a sense, to be honest, about what's going on in the world.
No, indeed, as is often the case, all right. All right, well, listen, Tom, enjoy it, and take your time, and take it easy while you're there. And
no, thanks, and thanks, Dave. Charlie, as like everyone else, is a big lover of Dublin, so as I am. Take care.
Come on, Tom Kenny, lighting director. Thanks a million. By the way, our lighting designer, where are you right now as we speak, by the way?
I'm sitting in my house in Miami, not trying to wake my kids.
Early. It must be what, like about 7 in the morning or so, or 8 in the morning, is it?
No, it's about 8 something. Yeah, early, 8 yeah, something. Yeah. But they're
22.
Teenagers and they fly in.
All right, good man, Tom. Thanks a million for talking to
us.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.